Good evening, everybody. As we are approaching Parshas Toldos, what halacha can you learn from Parshas Toldos, huh? You're in Sefer Bereishis, and you're trying to give a weekly halacha shiur, halacha from the Parsha. So last year, this week... Okay, yeah, Stuart, why have a halacha kumoka? Oh, very good. Okay, here, that don't hit your brother. You gotta love your brother. Oh, very good. So, Rabbi Weintraub has the first suggestion that I actually did think about. Kibbutz Av Eim is certainly on there. Last year, this time, I gave a shiur Shabbos morning on when is it permissible to lie. You know, with Yaakov and the Brachos tricking Yitzchak, that's a big sugya. There are actually, you know, many instances where the halacha permits to lie, you know, interesting sugya there. We learned there's even a sefer, like maybe even a two-volume sefer on that topic. So I thought maybe just to repeat that shiur. I don't remember it too well. I remember that according to Rav Yochum official Perlau, it's only Asr to lie in Beis Din. That was interesting. I remember that. Other than that, I remember Rav Dessler at the end. Anyway, good times last year. That being said, tonight I'm going to speak to you about a topic that I actually am a huge, huge fan of. It means a lot to me, being a Rebbe and someone who's always been spiritually motivated and in touch with people who are not so spiritually motivated. And that's about whether or not you're allowed to daven to Hashem to help people spiritually. Whoa. Meaning, is it a valid prayer to say, let's say for a second, you have a friend who went off the derech, something like that, you know, a family member who's struggling, and Hashem, I need your help to help so-and-so do tshuva. So that's going, I want to hear from everyone once we see a little bit of source material. Hopefully we'll then branch out. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. To me, it's a fascinating question, and it really is a halacha. Believe it or not, it's like a question, what is permissible and what is not. Okay, we have to give a big round of applause for our inaugural entry of Shlomo Menashe. Shlomo Menashe, applause. Okay, so he gets the certificate of getting a shout out. That is your gift for this evening. You get a shout out free of charge. All right, so let's look at our first source this evening. And that is the Parsha. And then from the Parsha, we'll see a machlok between Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Chazon Ish. So the Torah, we know classically, says, Vayehi ki zaken Yitzchak. So Yitzchak was getting old. And what happened? His eyesight, v'techena einav. We know that there was an issue with his ability to see. Me'aros v'yikra et Esav bino. And he calls his son Esav, Hagadol. Vayomer elav bini, vayomer elav hineini. And Yitzchak does not summon Yaakov to receive the bracha. Rather, he summons Esav to receive the bracha. Now, in our old age, we need to think about this parsha a little bit differently than the elementary school version. Yitzchak was one of the avos, and he knew what he was doing. And the question is, what in the world was he thinking when he wanted to give the bracha to Esav? You know, we generally assume, as when you're younger, that, listen, Yitzchak was old, he was blind, he was tricked, and you get that from Rashi. There's no question that there's a validity in that perspective. Yet, that's certainly not the only perspective, and we can now ask on a little bit more of a, we'll say, logical level, a rational level, less midrashic, what is the logical thought process of Yitzchak Avinu when he chooses to give Esav the bracha instead of Yaakov? So the Or HaChaim addresses this question. And again, I'm sure there are more than one answer. There's more than one answer to this question. But says the Or HaChaim a fascinating insight. Nisinas tam lama lo kara le Yaakov. So why did Yitzchak not summon Yaakov? Ki zeh habachor. No. Why Yaakov actually had purchased the birthright. Well, maybe Yitzchak was unaware that Yaakov had purchased the birthright, number one. And the reason why Yitzchak so badly wanted to bless Esav HaRasha, ki chashav shebe'emtza'ut ha-brachot yishapech v'midas ha-tov v'yetiv d'rachav. He thought that, no, of course Esav's a Rasha. So what do you have to do to help a Rasha? He's the one who needs the bracha. So Yitzchak had his head on his shoulders. He knew exactly what he was thinking. And he said, if I give Esav the bracha, just maybe that will translate into Esav doing tshuva. That's a nice idea, no? And Alvin, that's a nice Or HaChaim, right? It's a nice idea, and I can't say it from the pulpit anymore, the Shabbos. It's a good thing I don't speak also on Shabbos mornings. Anyways, I don't need to speak the Shabbos morning. Nice perk for everybody. We'll say it's a win-win, right? Anyway, Ketzadikim, here's a beautiful line of the Or HaChaim. Yichavu ba'asos b'nehem rasha, right? Very sad line. That tzadikim are particularly distressed when their children are rishayim. V'haya mishtadel imo lehetiv. And therefore, the father, in this case, Yitzchak, could always want the son to become better. And he gives the mashal of Yaakov Avinu and Dina, right? What happened? Where Yaakov hid Dina in the box. And the Midrash said that Yaakov was punished. Why was Yaakov punished for that? Because what could have happened? If Esav had laid his eyes on Dina and she was not hid from him, what would have happened? Dina would have married Esav. And what would have happened if they got married? Esav would have actually been influenced to the positive by Dina. So in the same way that Yaakov was hoping, Yaakov was held accountable for not doing this, but in the same way that Dina could have helped Esav do tshuva, so too, what's happening here, that Yitzchak was hoping the bracha would help Esav. Okay, very nice, beautiful. Very good. Robert, who controls the house? The man or the wife, Robert? Let's be honest. Okay, Chazal know what they're talking about, okay? Very good. So Stuart Rubin is a historian. He says, man, let's them. You know, nowadays women have a say in the house, but obviously classically, and again, even not so long ago, right, certainly the roles have certainly progressed in that area. Okay, so obviously, even if Esav would have made the policy decisions, I guess Dina would have had an influence on him in the same way that Rachmana Litzlan, Shlomo HaMelech's wives had a negative influence. The bottom line is your wife influences you. You can't deny that. So regardless of who has a say in what goes down, But they're obviously anyone's affected by the surroundings. And Kal Vachomer, your wife, who's mamish all around you. Okay. So, but yeah, Stuart, it's a good point. Obviously, dynamics have changed. Okay. So, if I were to stop here, this would be a good source to stop and think about this. Now, how does a bracha work, right? When Yitzchak gives a bracha to Esav, seemingly that's an act of prayer, right? What does that mean? Yitzchak gives a bracha to Esav, and then Esav is changed, his destiny has changed. Now it does sound like that, right? That whoever gets the bracha, receives the good. And if you don't receive the bracha, you can't access the good. But it's hard to say that Yitzchak, zapped Yaakov with a blessing, right? Meaning, again, I don't know too much about how brachos work metaphysically. But I would argue that you can say that the way brachos work is a similar nature of prayer. What Yitzchak was doing was davening to Hashem that this take place, and because Yitzchak had a special access to the Ribono Shalom, his prayer was maybe more effective. But maybe yes or no. Either way, I want to use this as a springboard for asking the question, if your son is someone who is a Rasha, or your friend is someone like a Rasha, are you allowed to daven that he become better? Because this source is a loaded source. So Yitzchak wanted Esav to become better. That's why he thought it would make sense to give him the bracha. And maybe nowadays we have a similar concept. So what do you think logically? Does anyone think that there is a positive, a negative, or can anyone tell me a logical reason why it would be wrong for me to pray for the spiritual welfare of another Jew? What does that fly in the face of? What does that contradict? There it is. Dr. Karp nails it right away. Jerome, great to see you. Sorry about that. It starts 8:15, Jerome. I don't know if you got the update. Okay, you're the man. Okay, we won't hold you accountable. So there's no lates in this year. All right, all good. So Dr. Karp, I don't know if you heard him because he's not on Zoom, he's live. So Dr. Karp said, meaning, you decide on your ability to choose mitzvahs and averos. So if I daven that Rabbi Weintraub, do tshuva, okay, I could daven until I'm blue in the face, but ultimately God gave Rabbi Weintraub free will. So who am I to intervene? Can I intervene on that decision? But anyone want to say that maybe I can? Anyone want to combat Dr. Rabbi Weintraub's position and say maybe you can? Or what would be an avenue, at least, to understand such a prayer? What do we think? So, Jerome, that's the million-dollar question. Am I allowed to daven for your spiritual progress? Am I allowed to, is that a legitimate prayer? Is that a legitimate prayer? Yeah, of course, Robert, yeah. A 1,000%. And even in the bracha of Rafa'in, what do we say in that Yehi Ratzon? What do we say? Refuas HaNefesh or Refuas HaGuf, right? Refuas HaNefesh maybe is spiritual. And certainly on a deeper level, Rafa'inu. Okay, yeah, so Nefesh, yeah. We, the Rambam refers to a Rav, as Rofe HaNefesh, very good. Yeah, I hear that, Stuart, that makes sense to me. But there is a different paragraph in Shemoneh Esrei that directly addresses this, and it's called Hashivenu Avinu L'Sora Secha. So there is a paragraph in Shemoneh Esrei about doing tshuva, and we generally assume that in the same way we can insert a private prayer in Rifa'enu for a personal chole, you can insert a personal prayer into every bracha. So I would have argued that you can insert into Hashivenu Avinu L'Sora Secha a personal little snippet, Yehi Ratzon, that so-and-so does tshuva. And in fact, the Arizal had such a prayer for someone, for his own son, not the Arizal's son. So, whoa. So let's see the discussion and the classical sources in Chazal and the Poskim, and we'll try to come away with some conclusion, or at least points to ponder. Okay, the famous Gemara. Oh, very good. So we're going to see that actually... That is very good. It's more no gear. But let's say I'm a rabbi in a community. Or let's say Rabbi Yudin, you know, is a Kiruv machine. Or if let's say I do NCS Y. And I do, and I know that there's a kid who's just a Tinoch Shanishpa and his parents are anti-religious. And if I don't pray for him, he's done. So I could daven for, you know, I can't daven for that. It's a funny thing to say. Very good. But yeah, Shlomo, there actually is a concept of that dafka your relatives. Okay, so let's see where we go. So the Gemara says that there were these thugs that bothered Rabbi Meir, right? There was this Biyuni in the neighborhood of Rabbi Meir, and they would bother Rabbi Meir because Aleph. So what did Rabbi Meir daven for? So what did Rabbi Meir daven? Hashem, please wipe these people out, kill them. And again, so here we are, Stuart waiting to say to this, and Bruria, Rabbi Meir's wife, had a big say in the family even back then, right? And said, and Yosh, she's an exception. I know what you're going to say. Stuart Breuer was a big scholar, a big Talmid Chacham. So my dadcha, so here we go. Breuer basically points out from the Pasuk in Tanakh, the Pasuk doesn't say that you should, what, daven that the sinners die, but rather you should die that the sins die. So therefore, Rabbi Meir, my husband, you should pray that they do tshuva and kachava. That's what he did. Ela bai rachmi aluye de lehadru b'tshuva, and that's what he did. Bo rachmi aluye v'hadru b'tshuva. So that, in conclusion, is what happened. Remeir davened that the thugs not die. He changed his prayer. He davened that they do tshuva, and they did tshuva. So if we were to stop this year here, Alvin, we have a nice conclusion. Are you allowed to pray that people do tshuva? Yes, Remeir did it. That was Breuer's Eitzah. So I could daven for my NCS wires. I could daven, let's say, for a Talmud in high school who's struggling spiritually. And I can use Rabbi Meir as my paradigm. But asks the Maharsha Adam's question. Your question, Adam, is in the Maharsha. V'yesh la'ayin bazeh, devadai ba'adam ha'mavakesh racham ha'mal atzmo l'hachzir b'tshuva necha. You can daven, Hashem, I need to do tshuva. Okay, so meaning God gave you the power of free will, but there's also a concept of meaning God says, okay, but if you take the first step, I'll help you. So by praying about your own spiritual welfare, that's the first step. Meaning when you say, Hashem, please help me do tshuva, Hashem says, okay, he took the first step, I'll help him. Avalevakesh rachamim al chavero lachziro b'tshuva kosher. So you can daven for your own spiritual welfare. But the Marsha argues, who says you can never daven for your friend's spiritual welfare? Ma yoa bakasha soha aminan hakol bidei shamayim chutz mira shamayim. You can daven until you're blue in the face about Ploni, but Ploni's got free will. And if he doesn't want to do tshuva, your prayer has got nothing to do with Ploni. Wow. Nu, but what about the prayer in Shmona Esrei about Hashiveinu Avinu? There's a beferish paragraph in Shmona Esrei about this. He says, no, that includes you, says the Marsha. He says, Kevan Shu Kolal Es Atzmo. Meaning, when you daven for Hashiveinu Avinu, you're including yourself, so that's not a problem. So all in all, the Maharsha takes a stand on this and says, you are not. I don't know if it's usher, but seemingly the Maharsha maybe would argue that it's pointless, it's inappropriate to daven for the spiritual welfare of another Jew since they have free will. Because they're just going to be able to do whatever they want. So what have you gained? Wow. Wow. Now again, my issue with the Maharsha is that I don't think he fully satisfied the bracha in Shmona Esrei. I mean, it's a big chiddush to say that Hashiveinu Avinu B'sor Asecha is only allowed because you're including yourself. Meaning, well, you know, Rav Chaim Kanievsky thinks about himself when he says that paragraph, or Vyudin thinks about himself. I don't think about myself. I think about my Talmidim. When I'm davening that paragraph, I think about high school kids who are just not yet turned on to spirituality. They're not turned on, they're not motivated to Judaism. And I daven for them. So, okay, maybe you could say that that's about the klal, but not about the individual. I don't know. I don't think it's a sin. It's chataya iskirayom. I think about individual students when I say that paragraph. No question about it. No question about it. And sometimes I'm davening in a room filled with kids. You know, prayer right now in high school chinuch is a very hard challenge. There are kids who are very into it, and there are kids who are very not into it. And sometimes I'm in a room where, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sor Asecha. And again, I'm dealing with very motivated kids who love learning, and they're very respectful. But, you know, let's just say, and you give any institution right now in high school, you're going to find kids who you need to daven for their spiritual well-being, even the most motivated kids. So, yeah, I can't daven for that. So I would say arguing, it's a difficult marsha. But to make matters worse, Rav Moshe Feinstein also takes this stand against me. And he says, what's the deal with Tfilas Bruria? Tfilas Bruria, he quotes the Maharsha, and he's responding to the famous Rav Ephraim Greenblatt. I think he was from Montreal. Stuart, you know, that's what I said, Memphis, that's what I said, the Wi-Fi. Yeah, so I was wrong. Yeah, I knew it was wrong. Yeah, I was just testing you. Very good. Yeah, my bad. Yeah, Memphis, Tennessee. So I knew he was the river of Ephraim. I know it's safe here. When his son is from Nutta Greenblatt, then Nitta Gabriel. His nephew. Adam says it's his nephew. Okay, so I'm wrong. I'm going to stop pretending that I know anything besides what's on the Mar Makomo sheet. Okay, so, but either way, they're great Svarim. I know that. The river of Ephraim and the Nitta Gabriel are dynamite Svarim. And Smicha, Baruch Simon, he does a lot into Nitta Gavriel's and the Rivas Ephraim is really well known at this point. Okay, so the Rav Moshe is responding though to Ephraim Greenblatt, which is cool. And he Rav Ephraim Greenblatt wanted to suggest an answer that like this, that he wanted to say that when I daven for you, that's included in man, not God. Meaning, Hakol Bidei Shamayim, but if I daven for you, that's not man, that's not God, that's man. That's a very, very interesting thing to say. So if I daven, Hashem, please help Reuven do tshuva. So who's helping Reuven do tshuva? God or Mandelstam? So the Rivos Ephraim suggested to Rav Moshe, do ulai ayadei tefilas ha'adam ein ze nikra bidei shamayim. Because it's not, I'm not asking God to do it. I'm davening for it. So it's like, I'm doing it. Huh? So Rav Moshe responds, what are you talking about? Hinehu doma gadol, v'lo mistaber zeklal. Now, I would never want Rav Moshe to say that to me. Right? You don't want to get rocked by Rav Moshe Feinstein. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein did preface the Jew by calling you a fine group, but Yedidi, you know, Chaveri. And obviously, this is written with a lot of love. But it's a little funny where he basically just says, "Rav Chaim Gruber, but like I think you're dead wrong." Meaning, you can't, if I daven for you, that's God, that's not me, right? If I say, Hashem, I need you to help Reuven, so ultimately who's helping Reuven? Not me, it's God. But all right, so how now does Rav Moshe get around the Gemara? How does, so how did the Marsha get around the Gemara, by the way? How did the Marsha get around the Gemara? He had the Kasha. How did he answer the question? How did he answer the question? Wait a minute. Did the Marsha pull a fast one? How did he answer the question? He said what? It's against this klal. Maybe I didn't quote the full Marsha over here. How did the Marsha actually answer that question? I mean, why was it okay for Rav Meir Davin for them to do tshuva? Oh, maybe because they were hurting him. Now we're going to see that later, huh? That's funny. Oh, so I missed that, right? Meaning the Marsha gives a klal, but I forgot how he used Matarets Rav Meir's prayer. Right, so either way, so Rav Moshe is going to now explain it. So maybe the Marsha doesn't address that question. He just asks a kasha, right? He says, V'yesh la'ayin. So maybe the Marsha himself doesn't ask that kasha. But Rav Moshe is now going to explain. He says, Aval tzarech lomar, shehatfil ha'isa shelo yehe lehem nisyonos. Ah. So when I daven Hashem, please help Reuven do tshuva. No, only Reuven can help Reuven do tshuva. But I can ask Hashem, can you make it easier for Reuven? Umemela yashuvu. And then Reuven himself will do tshuva. But I just want you to help him. So what's the idea? So when you could say when Rav Meir davened Hashem, get these thugs to do tshuva, it was like, Hashem, lighten their yetzahara a little bit. I mean, give them some musr. And Rav Moshe says, maybe what I'm davening for is that they'll hear a little bit of musr. Hashem yisbarach yazmen lam she'yishma'u divrei musr. Imagine if I say, Hashem, please help Reuven do tshuva. And then, you know, hashkacha pratis, he meets Rav Yudin on some street corner, and Rav Yudin invites him for a Shabbos meal. Chevy, you know, gives him some kugel, and you know, the next thing you know, he's the firmest guy in town, right? So that was all him. He made the decision, but I can daven for Hashem to intervene. Wow, what a Rav Moshe, right? So again, if I'm not mistaken, the Marsha didn't answer the question. I think I gave you the full Marsha, and Rav Moshe is the first one who gives you a real answer, that you're not allowed to daven for the person to do tshuva, it's up to him, but you can ask Hashem to intervene and remove the Yetzirah a little bit and give him some life circumstances to get him in the right direction. Okay. Right. Exactly. If there's one thing that's getting in this guy's way, Hashem, could you just get that one obstacle out of his way? Right. Exactly. That's exactly how Rav Moshe says it. And that's a beautiful Rav Moshe, but who disagrees with Rav Moshe and goes a little bit further? The Chazon Ish. Now, I had some issues finding the Chazon Ish inside, but he's quoted verbatim in multiple sources. So I usually like checking up sources, even when they're quoted verbatim, just to triple check. But I saw the source quoted twice verbatim. So I assume it's safe enough to quote it. And like really from people quoting it verbatim. So, you know, I almost never do this, but I do want to confess that I didn't actually open up the Sefer today and see it. But again, I saw it quoted twice verbatim identically. And what does the Chazon Ish say? He says that you're allowed to daven for a person to do tshuva. Why? So I say, and Hashem, please have my NCS wire. And Hashem listens to me, right? Hashem will say that's not included in the category of Hakol Bidei Shemayim since it was done by a human. Meaning Mandelstam did enough human intervention by praying for Hashem to classify that as a human act. Whoa. So who helped my NCS wire do tshuva? Mandelstam. Since I davened for it, kevan shenasa ayadei tfilas nivra. Since it was done by the prayer of a creation. Whoa, that's a heavy chazon ish. So, you know, Rav Daniel Feldman was the first one who ever exposed me and taught me this machlokas between Rav Moshe and the chazon. She has an article that you can find on YU Torah that is called Praying for Intervention. So I was very excited when I found it again today. I wanted to give Shem this topic and I found it. So you could find his article. He goes, or Feldman, into alumnus from here, from the Chatzelos HaSharon. So let's say, for example, can I daven for someone who's deathly ill to die? So if prayer is considered an act of God, so maybe it should be permissible. But if prayer is an act of man, then I should not be able to daven for someone who's so in pain to die, because it's like compared to murder. So it's an unbelievable nafkamina. It, you know, how you analyze how prayer works. Is prayer an act of man or an act of God? And that would affect what you're not allowed to daven for, because you obviously can't kill someone. So maybe you should not be able to daven for someone who's very ill and sick to die, because that would be comparable to a human act. Wow, what an amazing lumdus, and I encourage everyone to take a look at that. But just to focus a little bit more locally, so we're still not out of the woods yet, because the Chazon Ish, so he has Rav Meir's Gemara on his side, and there's another Gemara on his side, in Meseches Sota Daf Yedaled, where Moshe Rabbeinu, we know Davin, that why did Moshe want to get into Eretz Yisrael so badly? The Gemara has a little bit of a joke, where he wanted to eat the peiros of Eretz Yisrael. Right? Rav Solovsky says, well, he wanted to eat Jaffa oranges, right? That's how Rav Solovsky says it. And what was the answer given? That he wanted to do the mitzvos, right? So to Yudalad Avon Aleph. And part of that Gemara, the Gemara praises Moshe for many, many things. One of them being, Shebikesh Rachamim al Poshe Yisrael Sheyachzeru Bitshuva. One of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu is credited for, is praised for, is that he davened that the sinners of the Jewish people do tshuva. Ding, 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 ding. So not only do we have a Gemara in Barachos, we have a Gemara in Sota. Now, the Chazon Ish himself quoted a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that I couldn't find, but we have multiple examples in Shas where people are davening for the spiritual welfare of others. And in fact, it's brought down the halacha in the Sefer Chassidim that you're allowed to daven what? For a person to do tshuva. There's a, the Sefer Chassidim writes, you should not curse people out, even if they're really bothersome to you, even if they're harming you. Rather, what? Ach yitpalel alav sheyashlem HaKadosh Baruch Hu libo v'achsireyu lemutav. Whoa! So there's a halacha brought down in the Sefer Chassidim. He's bringing down Rav Meir lehalacha. Can anyone, though, point out a nuance in Rav Meir, in the Sefer Chassidim? What are you asking God to do? What are you asking God to do? To do what? To affect the person's heart. When people get inspired by NCS Wire and it comes, it's, where does that come from? And why does one kid get inspired and the kid next to him not get inspired? What's up with that, right? So can I daven, Hashem, listen, I don't need you to do all the work, but can you do a little bit of the work? So in the same way that Rav Moshe argued, you can daven to at least remove an obstacle. So now we're seeing a middle ground where you can daven, Hashem, can you just give him a spiritual boost to at least yashlim his lave? In a similar vein, it's a fascinating tshuva, right? So the Sefer Chassidim is a Rishon in the 1100s. The Me'il Tzedakah is an Acharon in the 1600s. And he has a wild shaila that there was in the city Izmir, right? Stuart Izmir? Turkey. So Yatza Echad Midato Ladas Acher, Rahman al-Assam, someone went off the Derech. I'm sure there's a greater historical context there. Velokoch Gamkein Imo Bino Katan. So he took his kid with him, right? You know. And v'nistapku sham im rashayim achirim lispalel alav. Shachziru Hashem lavodasov yitain belibo lashum, I guess that should be lashuv, b'tshuva shlema. Wow, 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 wow. So it's mamish a halachic shayla. Our question of the evening is a beferish shayla in the Me'il Tzedakah. And how did I find this Me'il Tzedakah? So I'll tell you my secrets for this evening. Again, I started the Rav Feldman's article on YU Torah. There's an unbelievable article in the journal Hamayan Tufshin Ayin Bet. I forgot the name of the Rav, unfortunately, who wrote that article. Here, I could show it to you here a little bit. And the Ma'ayan Yisrael Isser Tzvi Herzog, Sir Yisrael Herzog, wrote an article on this topic. He also focused on Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish. And then the Sefer Daf Al Daf. You know, there's a Sefer that focuses on Daf Yomi to give you like a little bit more breadth on the Daf Yomi. So the Daf Al Daf, Baba Basar Chaf Aleph Amin Aleph. He focuses on that Gemara. I didn't even look up why that pertains to that Gemara and that Daf. But the Daf Al Daf in the Sefer Baba Basar Chaf Aleph Amin Aleph gives us Fasemes, and there are other sources. He quotes the Chazon Ish. I guess the Moshe there also, I don't know. But those are like classical, these are like good stuff. You know, if anyone's curious to know how to look up more, that's where you look, okay? So, and the Me'il Tzedakah, he has interesting rules. So he says, again, I don't want to go too much for the sake of time. He says, maybe you're not allowed to daven because we have a free will, and maybe it's up to God, it's not up to you. Maybe like if God decides you're going to do tshuva, it's up to God. And if God doesn't want him to do tshuva, it's up to God. It's not up to you. So he says, listen, you can't deny the fact that sometimes God plays a role in inspiring hearts. Like, why does one heart get inspired as opposed to another? So therefore, he argues that ubeze yesh makom mitzvilaso shor Rabbi Meir. That now he explains Rabbi Meir, shachzur Hashem leman lo yitzaru oso. So if you're a victim, you're allowed to daven. You're allowed to daven. So that's his first rule, that if you're a victim, and like someone's hurting you, then you can pray. It's a fascinating idea. Meaning, because you're not just davening for the guy to do tshuva. You're saying, Hashem, I need this guy to do tshuva so he stops hurting me. So what's the nafka meaning here? Here there's a kid involved. So he says, you're allowed to daven for the kid because it causes sa'ar to have the kid go off the derech. Whoa. And therefore, since you can daven for the kid, you can daven for the father. So it's a very fascinating, like, you know, specifics where he says you're allowed to daven if it causes you pain. Again, kihechi delo letzarenu. It's a fascinating idea that you can daven that Hashem not allow these people to do pain. And Rav Meir was davening that these thugs don't hurt him, and you could daven that this kid not go off the derech. But he says min hastam, after quoting a lot of sources, he says hirenir mikol halein. But someone who's mamish a Russia, we don't daven for that person. Wow. If someone is a mamish Russia stuck in his ways, we don't daven for that person. He's done. But based on what Robert said, that in the same way that Rav Meir prayed, Hashem, could you please help these people do tshuva so they stop physically harming me? So Robert, your Kal Vachomer, all the more so for the Shechina, meaning Hashem's in pain, so to speak, that this kid's going off the derech, right? The Shechina is in pain, so therefore you're allowed to daven that this kid come back, and you can also daven for the father. But he also has this line about at least you can maybe daven Hashem to at least what Mata Halev, at least, you know, turn his heart a little bit. So it's again a middle ground. So let's say in conclusion, the most extreme was the Maharsha and Rav Moshe. They said, listen, there's a thing called free will, and therefore you don't daven for other people to do tshuva. It's up to them. But what can you daven for, argues Rav Moshe? You can daven that Hashem remove the Yetzer Haras a little bit away. The opposite extreme was the Chazon Ish, who said, no. When you pray, that's called kiruv. That's you helping, and you're allowed to do that in the same way you can do kiruv, because prayer is an action of man. Wow, what a chiddush! And then the middle ground is who is the sefer chassidim. You're allowed to daven, and also what we just said was who? Who are we just quoting? We're just quoting the Acharon. I don't even know who I'm quoting anymore. Oh gosh, I gotta get to sleep on time these days. Who was I just quoting, guys? The Me'il Tzedakah. Yeah, the Me'il Tzedakah. The Me'il Tzedakah said this middle ground that you could daven for like Hashem to do like a little bit of the work, right? That the Sefer Chassidim, Hashem, you can, you know, help him a little bit. And again, the Me'il Tzedakah said if he's causing you pain, or you know, if there's a kid and it causes you pain or Hashem pain, there's like a very specific rule. So all in all, can you daven for someone to do tshuva? I think the answer is yes. You have the Chazon Ish to rely on. And even Rav Moshe, who more or less said no, said, okay, so daven for the Yetzer Hara to calm down. So it's a very, very deep concept, and maybe that's a little bit of what Yitzchak Avinu had in mind this week's Parsha, where he so badly wanted Esav to do tshuva, and there are similar makoros about Avraham wanting Yishmael to not get lost. And we should all be zoche to put in the necessary efforts to help those Jews who need our intervention, and we should never give up on them. And yes, in my own personal opinion, I vote either for the Chazon Ish, or you want to daven like Rav Moshe, Hashem, just make it a little easier for these guys. But we should never give up on any Jew and have them in mind. And we should always, always, always have Klal Yisrael in our prayers. Have a wonderful evening. I'm going to stop the recording here. Stay on for any questions.